Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart be acceptable unto you, O God, our Creator and Redeemer. Amen. So, I have a question for you. Have you ever wondered why you come here? Why do you get up early on a Sunday morning and come to this place? Now, I do realize this is a dangerous and tricky question for a preacher to ask. And if in pondering it you feel the sudden urge to get up and run away, I wouldn't blame you. It's just that every now and then, I find myself in places or situations where I start wondering, what am I doing here? Why am I giving this situation and this moment in time my energy and attention? So I figure if I think about that in random places in my life, y'all must think about it, about this place from time to time. As much as I love it here, I'd be foolish to believe otherwise. So I ask, why do we gather here? In the olden days, like the 1960s, long before I was born, I only get to make these jokes about the 60s being like long ago for a little while longer because I'm pushing 50, so I gotta make these young jokes much longer, so I'll pace them for the next little while. But at that point in time, the United Church was at its peak for attendance, right? 1960s, glory days of church, lasted like 18 months. And I suppose the answer then was a lot easier to stumble upon, right? Most people went to church then, and for a number of different reasons. First off, and most simply, there were fewer distractions and other options on Sunday morning. Stores weren't open on Sundays. Hockey games weren't played Sunday mornings. Netflix and the internet hadn't been invented yet. You weren't even supposed to mow your lawn before noon on a Sunday. According to my mother, who would grumble if she heard someone's mower start up to mow their lawn on Sunday? Ridiculous. Then there were the neighbors to think of. What in the world would they say if they caught you sneaking out of church? You don't want to let those neighbors down. You all know who these two are, too. I know you do. And on top of all that, there was guilt. That amazingly powerful motivator the church was allowed to use to get folks through these doors. But if we were to ask the same questions of ourselves today, the answer, I know, will sound very different. There are plenty of other things we could be doing than go to church, and good things, too. Even the liquor store is open on Sunday morning. The neighbors likely look at us funny for going to church now, rather than not. And guilt? Well, we United Church folk kicked that theological monster to the curb years ago. God loves you whether you come here or not. So why do we? Why do we gather here? In our reading from Mark's Gospel this morning, we find Jesus and his followers wandering through a grain field. Now, we are very early on in the story at this point, only chapter 2 in Mark's Gospel, but a lot has already happened. Jesus has arrived on the scene and is baptized by John. He has spent his time in the wilderness facing temptation. He's called his first disciples, and he has started making a name for himself. He is healing people left, right, and center. He is teaching everywhere he goes and is openly hanging out with sketchy folk. As a result, he's not only gaining fame and notoriety, but the attention of the Pharisees and other religious authorities, who aren't bad people, they're just very law-abiding. By the beginning of chapter 3, they are already conspiring to destroy him. On this day, while walking through a field, the disciples pluck some grains some heads of grain, and the Pharisees jump on it. Why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Now just a refresher. The Sabbath was born out of the book of Genesis. After 6 days of working hard, creating all the things, God looked at creation, saw that it was good, and on the seventh day, God rested. This rest was then carved into law when it was found its place as the fourth out of 10 commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And from there, the rules about what could and could not be done in the Sabbath grew and grew and grew until such time as one could not mow one's lawn before noon on Sunday. Thank you, Helen Brown. We could easily dig for hours into the complex issues of this story from Mark's Gospel, explore the ways Jesus so brilliantly uses scriptures from the Old Testament, of course at his time the only Testament, to defend the actions of his disciples. But today, with this table set before us, the only thing on my mind is Jesus' comment offered in response to the Pharisees' judgment. The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. Man, I could just sit with that line for ages. The idea that the Sabbath wasn't created that we might be kept in line, or controlled by guilt, or rewarded for pleasing God by following the right rules, well, it's liberating. Instead of a "you better do this or else" concept, Jesus flips the entire idea on its head and says that the Sabbath was created for us. It was a gift given to us. One that might help us claim the time we need to rest, that gives us permission to intentionally focus on the deeper presence of God in our lives, that empowers us to say it's okay to pause in the midst of life and breathe deeply into God's very being. Anna Mott wrote, "Almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you." I suppose that's my answer as to why I come here. In this room, at this table, I unplug, even if it's just for a few moments. Here we are invited, encouraged, to claim the gift of Sabbath, to accept the time to rest our bodies, minds, and spirits from whatever else is going on inside you and reconnect with God. Mary Oliver, that beautiful poet, once wrote, "The patterns of our lives reveal us. Our habits measure us." Those of us who include church in the pattern of our lives and have made coming here, if nothing else, a habit, reveal who we are. Gathering here says something about us, about who we are, about what we long to find, about our deep desire to know that there's more to life than rules, expectations, commitments, and exhaustion. That's why we call this a communion table in this church and not an altar. This isn't really a place to sacrifice anything anyway, except maybe all of those things that get between us and God. But ultimately, this is a place to seek communion with God. And we gather here not that we might follow the rules or gain access to the VIP lounge in heaven, but that we might come face to face with the very one who created us. And so we gather here to remember who we are, children of God, blessed and beloved all the world over. Every beating heart can claim this truth. We belong here. This bread reminds us that the journey we are on is sacred with all its twists and turns, ups and downs. It is holy ground that we walk on. This cup reminds us that when our journey is over, our arrival into God's presence is assured. Not because he followed all the rules. Goodness knows I'd be hooped if that were the case. But because of the grace we are so freely given. We gather here and we remember who God is. The one who calls us to this feast in the first place. Who says, listen, just come as you are. Whether your heart be broken or soaring, whether the prayers on your lips are touched with gratitude or pain, whether you find yourselves overwhelmed with the chaos of living or are perfectly at home in your own skin, you belong here. We gather to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy, not for God's sake, but for ours. Eugene Peterson said, if you don't take a Sabbath, something is wrong. You're doing too much. You're being too much in charge. You've got to quit one day a week and just watch what God is doing when you're not doing anything. And I know how hard this can be. Trust me, I know I'm a little bossy, a little controlling. You all laugh, little, they say. I know how hard it is. I know it's easier to push than to let go and trust. But when we gather here, we remember to let go. Even if it's only for a few minutes, we remember there's more to life than pushing. So, when you find yourselves wondering, why do I come here? When you know there are so many other valuable things you could be doing, when you are pretty sure that the minister will just ramble on for an hour and say nothing of great import anyway, remind yourself of the gift of life this table offers you, the peace it places in your very hands, the holy ground it invites you to rest on, that the gift of this Sabbath might soothe you, feed you, and send you back out into that world, restored. Amen.